Glad you could join us for another episode of Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the many township volunteer committees that exist. Our guest is Anthony Durante. He is the chairperson of the Pedestrian and Cyclist Safety Committee, which is, again, as I said, one of the volunteer committees that we have around town. Anthony, welcome to Cranford Radio.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
I mentioned the name of the group. And obviously, pedestrian and cyclist safety can take in a whole slew of things, but tell us a little bit about what the mission and the role of this committee is, if you would, please.
We're trying to draw attention to the fact that we have people of all ages and abilities in town. It's not that we're just a young town or an old town. There are folks from a variety of different backgrounds. We have people that are aging in place. We have, obviously, many families in town with young kids, and all of these different folks travel in different ways. And many of these folks choose to or need to travel on foot or by bike. So we're trying to draw attention to that. We're trying to draw attention to the fact they have needs, basic needs in getting around. It could be whether you're walking your dog or cycling to school or heading down to the train station on a scooter. There are unique sets of needs that are associated with pedestrians and cyclists, and often those needs are not met through our infrastructure. That's not unique to Cranford, but it tends to be true, you know, in many different locations. So that, you know, that's one thing that we try to do. We try to work collaboratively with other folks in town. We are a fully volunteer-based committee, as you know, Bernie, as a member of the committee. You know, without having dedicated staff support, paid staff support on the township side, we really have to work on our own. So to get things done, to try to advance things, we really need to work collaboratively with the township committee, township administrator, the police department, you know, and other folks throughout the town, the Office of Business and Economic Development at downtown Cranford, you know, and others, to really try to advance things. So we're trying to raise awareness. We are trying to identify projects that or locations that could benefit from safety improvements. To do any of this, we really have to work collaboratively with other folks in town. So that's really what we're about. Yeah, we're just really beginning, I think, to build up a head of steam. And we're hoping, you know, within the next year, we can begin to see some real progress.
Well, as you mentioned, I am a member of the committee. This is my first year serving on the committee. So I've had a little bit of a chance to see some of the projects that you're doing. And I guess it's probably fair to say there are two major thrusts that you have right now on the committee. One is talking about a complete streets resolution for the township. And we'll talk about what a complete streets resolution involves, as well as potential safety improvements in town. Why don't we first focus on complete streets? When I say that term, complete streets, can you define that for me and for the listeners?
Yes. Streets, traditionally, as we know them, at least from the past several decades, streets are for cars, right? Cars drive on streets or roads. That's the primary mode of transportation. And that's just the way that many people view streets. When you look back several more decades to the 19th century, early 20th century, and you were to look at an image of a street would be serving a variety of functions. There would be some form of mobility on wheels. It could be horse and wagon, or it could be an early automobile, but there were often streetcars or trolleys, which we had in Cranford, and many smaller towns have those as well. There were often vendors in the street. There were people in the street. There were folks using the street in different ways. And that street would be considered a complete street. It's serving more functions than just moving cars. So this old idea of streets, the original kind of idea of streets is, you know, has been kind of brought back to more contemporary times to rethink the functioning of streets. So streets really are public spaces, and you know, should be doing more than just moving cars. We should be moving people, moving cyclists in big cities. You'll see either streetcars or trolleys or light rail, like you would see, say, in Jersey City. You see bus lanes in many places, bike lanes, and even forms of green infrastructure bioswales or rain gardens or other names, but means of actually channeling, collecting, and helping to manage and treat stormwater. You know, when we think about the street building to building, we can do a lot more with streets than what we're doing now. Streets can be a lot more efficient than just removing cars. And by efficiency, I mean a vehicular travel lane can only move a certain amount of cars per hour. Usually we kind of look at these things per hour or per day. Whereas if you were to compare a vehicular travel lane and the capacity of a vehicular travel lane to move people, it's really blown away by the capacity of a rail line moving in the same space, or a bus lane moving in the same space, or a bike lane moving in the same space. A bike lane or a bus lane or a transit lane can move far more people than a vehicular travel lane. So there really is efficiencies built into complete streets. In a place like Cranford, getting back to the stormwater issue, in a place like Cranford, we could really benefit from streets that maybe do a better job of channeling and collecting stormwater and preventing that stormwater from getting to the river, or preventing that stormwater from getting to our drains, which could lead to, you know, isolated flooding incidents in our neighborhood. So that's the idea of complete streets. Many jurisdictions throughout the country actually have what are called complete streets policies. By jurisdiction, I mean it could be a state, it could be a county, it could be a municipality, or it could be an agency. So there are many departments of transportation around the country, including in New Jersey, that have their own complete streets policies. And these policies or these documents try to establish guidance for implementing complete streets. They may have some design standards in them. They may call for certain requirements, but these are, again, guidance documents that are trying to, you know, work towards the implementation of complete streets, try to move from an idea to an actual product.
The other aspect that the committee is involved with are suggesting safety improvements. Again, I say suggesting because the committee has no power to order changes. They don't have a budget to pay for these types of changes. But tell us a little bit about that aspect of what the committee's work involves.
Yeah, so ultimately we want to try to advance safety. I mean, that's really what we're after. You know, advance safety, but also advance just basic accommodation. Again, we have folks that are walking their dogs, kids that are walking to school, kids that are biking to school, folks that just are out on a run or taking a walk. So we want to just think about locations that could potentially benefit from improvements. I think there's a natural desire from folks on the committee to actually get stuff done, right? They actually want to see tangible change and tangible improvements on our streets. So we started that kind of process by just as a committee thinking about locations that we're familiar with that maybe we wish had some form of either accommodation or safety improvement or whatever else, a location that could just benefit from change. Mm-hmm. Without necessarily defining what that is, we just said, look, let's just list these locations. Let's just, off the top of our heads, what are locations that, in town that we feel could benefit from some improvement? And that's kind of where we started. So it was just a kind of an exercise where we just threw out some ideas. There were no bad ideas, no bad locations. And we came up with a list of locations, again, just based on our own experiences. Well, now we had a list of locations that we could potentially do things with, right? We could come up with ideas for how we could potentially improve those locations, but where do you start? So we began to then say, okay, well, we should really prioritize these. Right now we have kind of a shotgun approach where we have a bunch of locations scattered throughout town. What do we focus on first? So we came up with a system whereby we wanted to score these locations and rank them by score as a means of prioritizing them. Some of the things that we tried to score were crash history. So in other words, is there a documented history of crashes at any of these locations? In other words, are there recorded crashes? Is there data that says there are crashes here, or there's a pedestrian crash here, or there's a crash that results in a serious injury, or worst case scenario, a fatality. So we looked at the crash data, compared that to locations. We looked at things like the proximity of these locations to parks and schools and what we call pedestrian generators or cyclist generators. These are locations where people walk to or bike to. So again, schools or parks come to mind. The downtown comes to mind. And we looked at, you know, some other factors, you know, kind of put some numbers to it, came up with a scoring system, and scored and ranked the locations. And now we have a ranked set of locations that we want to bring forward to try to advance some improvements. The process has been pretty procedural. I'll have to say it's been, you know, a lot of kind of collaborative work. It's been a lot of work kind of away from the committee, actually, where folks were just kind of taking on different tasks themselves and bringing it back to the committee and whatever else. But, you know, it's that type of thinking that I think that type of procedural thinking, I think, is required. It's the kind of measure twice, cut once mentality. Mm-hmm. Where we need to, you know, think through what we want to do. Again, our resources are limited. We're volunteers. I can't go to the township and say, hey, look, I have 30 locations that I want to improve. I mean, again, where do you begin? I need to take a ranked list, a prioritized list of locations, a smaller list of locations, maybe a top five, and then bring that, again, in a collaborative fashion, like I mentioned before, to the police and to the township committee and potentially others and say, hey, look, these are our top scoring locations. These locations we've flagged as important locations that we should really think about, and then work together to try to come up with, okay, how do we improve? You know, can we improve? Mm-hmm. Maybe the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's fine. There are real constraints, you know, in this, doing this type of exercise. But at the very least, we can defend our work. We can defend the locations that we want to prioritize, and then hopefully put more emphasis on them and then come up with improvement strategies.
And what happens, you would present this to the township committee, and at that point, the ball is in their court to make decisions as to what they see as feasible and what they can budget for, let's say?
Sure, potentially. I mean, you know, we would want to, as an immediate next step, we'd like to meet with the police department to get their input on these, again, these top priority locations, these top scoring locations, just to kind of understand, you know, we're not looking for solutions at this point. What we want to say is, look, do we recognize there's an issue here? Do we recognize that this is something we may want to, you know, tackle? And, you know, the solutions are there, in my opinion. The solutions are there. We just need to put our heads together and come up with some ideas. At that point, yeah, then I think if we do have support from the police department for some of these locations, yeah, I think we can go to the township committee, present these basic findings, present the locations, the reason behind why we've identified these locations, and then begin to really think through, okay, what can we do here? Then it's a matter of potentially working with engineering, you know, working with other professionals, you know, what can we potentially do? Safety treatments, what design treatments, what operational treatments can we potentially deploy at these locations to make them safer, make them more accessible? It doesn't have to be expensive stuff. Again, if I go back to what I said about complete streets, it could be inexpensive materials. It could be, you know, a painted curb extension or things that can be done, you know, on a weekend, literally. But that could really have a meaningful impact on folks that use these locations every day.
You talked about professionals, and I want to talk a little bit about you personally. You come to this role that you have as the chairperson of the committee as a transportation professional yourself. Tell me a little bit about your background, if you would, please.
So I am a professional transportation planner. My primary focus is on safety. So I work a lot with crash data. We help to analyze crash data for different projects or different clients, whether it's a county project or a state project or a local project or some other type of agency project. We also focus heavily on design. So actually, how can we physically design streets and intersections to be more safe? These are typically locations that have, they require work because they've been flagged as usually unsafe locations. So they are high up on a list somewhere as an unsafe location due to, you know, a history of crashes. In a similar matter to what I mentioned before, you know, we tried to rank a list of locations in Cranford. The state and the NJTPA do the same types of exercises. You know, they're ranking locations within their jurisdictions to try to understand, you know, roadways, intersections, corridors that need focus, right? There are many, many, many miles of roadway in the state, thousands and thousands of intersections in the state. So again, where do you begin? Well, you begin by, you know, prioritizing these locations. So we'll often get, you know, a top location within the state that's been flagged for safety to work on it. We'll address those issues, work with the owner operator, work with local stakeholders to try to identify means of improving those corridors and making them more safe.
Let me ask a final question, Anthony, about something that's a personal interest of mine. I'm a cyclist, so I'm riding on the roads of Cranford every day. And during these kinds of warm weather months, using it not just for exercise and recreation, but also for transportation. And I have a couple of daughters who live up in Burlington, Vermont. And when I go up in Burlington, Vermont, it seems almost every business has a bike rack of some sort in front of the business. It invites people, I think, to use their bicycles. Does the committee get involved at all with biking infrastructure, encouraging businesses or things such as town parks to install that kind of infrastructure to perhaps encourage people to use their bicycles more?
I think that's something that is a real gap within Cranford. You know, we see them at schools often, but we don't see them, you know, often within parks, within our downtown area. Although we have had at least one or two installed within the past few years. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, you need to be able to get somewhere and then put the bike somewhere. So, you know, it's one part of the journey, right? So part of it is traveling on the streets and do you feel safe and do you have a space to ride? But then it's when you get where you're going, do you have a safe space to lock up your bike or even just, you know, lean your bike on something? And it's a benefit not only to the cyclist, but it's a benefit to, you know, even like local businesses. I mean, if bikes are left leaning up against, you know, a building or something, a local business may not appreciate that. But if you have a bike rack, obviously that's the right spot for it. So, you know, they make a lot of sense and they help to just see it. Look, it's the end point of the journey, right? It's the period at the end of the sentence. And it's something that's small, that can be kind of implemented quickly, but really does have an impact, to your point, on potentially somebody's decision to even take their bike somewhere.
As we wrap up, let me just ask if anyone who's listening to this has a concern or a suggestion that they would like to offer, what's the best way for them to make that known?
Probably a few different ways. We as a committee are always, you know, open to ideas. If you happen to know somebody who's on the committee, we're happy to have a conversation. If you ever wanted to reach out to me directly, you could certainly do that. Probably the best way to do that is through email. And my email is agdurante, D-U-R-A-N-T-E, at yahoo.com. I'm happy to take any ideas. Locations have been flagged to us by folks, and we have incorporated them into our list. Again, that list that we have kind of scored and ranked. So if there are other thoughts, we're definitely open to them. I mean, we can't certainly be everywhere. We're not every intersection in town or every street in town. So, you know, we need those kind of voices from different neighborhoods to chime in. And, you know, another way would just be to speak up to the township committee. I mean, the township committee meets in open forums, public forums, and they sincerely do appreciate any public input that comes their way. So if there are safety concerns, they would probably be your first stop and should be your first stop to get things done, whether that's through email or whether that's through actually attending a meeting and speaking their mind.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Anthony Durante. He is the chairperson of the Pedestrian and Cyclist Safety Committee here in Cranford. Anthony, thanks so much for being here on Cranford Radio.
Thanks, Bernie. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.